From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Jobless levels have been dropping, but long-term unemployment, out of work 6 months or more, is stubborn. We meet two educated, experienced job seekers who discuss the frustrations of today's impersonal job search, how age plays into it, and the discouragement of being underemployed. And we hear from career counselor and coach Janet Glover Kirkfleet, who explains that sometimes taking a survival job can be a humbling but necessary step in the long-term job search.
So we have people in our group with masters and doctorates working at Target, working at Chick-fil-A, working at Enterprise, taking whatever contractual jobs they can find. And that can go on for quite some time.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. 1.5 million jobless people in the U.S. are considered long-term unemployed, counted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics as out of work for 6 months or more. Job seekers who are 55 and older account for one-third of the long-term unemployed, a percentage anticipated to grow as the population ages. Later in the show, we'll meet two educated, experienced individuals, both in their 60s, who have been searching for work for more than a year. They'll offer their perspectives on the realities of the job search. Joining us now is career counselor and coach Janet Glover Kirkfleet. She facilitates the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group. She seeks to go beyond resume building and interview skills to also provide emotional support for her clients. Welcome to On the Record, Janet.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you are here. Who attends the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group?
It's mostly professional people who are who have been long-term unemployed. Generally 45 and older.
How do they hear about you?
There's a lot of word of mouth. There are people in the center that where we meet, congregation members who get the word out for us.
You meet at a church?
Yeah, it's called the Corner Community Center. It was originally First Christian Church. We advertise. We have a meetup page. We have a LinkedIn group. We don't have a Facebook page yet, but that's coming. We've also made connections with the American Job Centers in Maryland and Baltimore, as well as the Professional Outplacement Assistance Center.
And those are government offices?
Yes.
What is different about being unemployed for a long time compared to just being out of work?
Research has shown that the longer you're out of work, the harder it is to get back into the workforce.
And why is that?
There's a variety of reasons, one of which is many of these, the long-term unemployed certainly, are losing their jobs at a point when they're 45 and over. This is a time when they're looking back at their career, they're thinking about the accomplishments, things that they've achieved, and looking forward towards retirement. And then you get the pink slip, the layoff, you're downsized, and it's a huge shock for people.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't been working, they haven't been looking for a job for a very long time. And so when they go out in the workplace, they think it's kind of like it was in the 90s. I'll look for a job, I'll apply, I'll send my resume, I'll have an interview, and I'll get a position. But it doesn't work that way anymore, particularly after we're still in the post-Great Recession period, so there are fewer jobs. Jobs are coming back a little bit, but there's still too many workers and not enough jobs. We also have the phenomenon now that baby boomers used to be the largest population in the workplace, the largest generation. Millennials have taken over. So what we find now, particularly with long-term unemployed people who are 45 and over, they are competing for the same positions that millennials are competing for. So we have an unprecedented bottleneck in the hiring process. We don't have baby boomers leaving the market the way we used to, going out to retire because they still need to work. So we have them trying to come back into the workplace after losing their jobs and then competing with the younger generations for the same positions.
What happens to the psychology of someone who's unemployed a long time?
There's a lot of psychological aspects to long-term unemployment. There's a sense of shame, guilt, a loss of identity, loss of self-respect, the feeling that it's their fault. At first, many people who are unemployed for no fault of their own are angry at their employer. But pretty soon, as the job search wears on and on and on, they start getting angry at themselves. Mm. What also doesn't help is that family members and friends are thinking, you have a degree, you have years of experience, what's taking you so long? So it becomes a sense of it's your fault somehow that you don't have a job at this point. And also there's the sense of isolation that comes. So when people are embarrassed and feeling shame, they're doing exactly what they should not do, which is avoid their colleagues, avoid people in their position, avoid people at their former workplaces, because they're kind of regarded as, you know, that's a virus that I might catch. You know, I might lose my job.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with career counselor and coach Janet Glover Kirkfleet about the Baltimore Job Hunter Support Group and the challenges of long-term unemployment. So give me some examples of people you've helped with some of these issues.
So many people in our group, and we have many highly educated people in our group, PhDs, JDs, at first are trying to get jobs in their position and are only looking at those type of jobs. Then there comes a time when they've gone through their savings and they're like, that's okay. I'm still looking. Something's going to work out. Then they go through their 401k. That's all right. It's a little more serious, but something is going to come. Then they might be into selling or losing their homes, going into foreclosure. Hopefully before that point, they come to us or any other support group, and they learn that we have to do some things that we may have not thought about before or thought we never had to do. For example, taking a survival job. So we have people in our group with masters and doctorates working at Target, working at Chick-fil-A, working at Enterprise, taking whatever contractual jobs they can find, driving for Uber, getting more involved in the gig economy. And that can go on for quite some time. Many of these people do get interviews. They've put in hundreds of applications. And to go on an interview or a job that you thought was perfect for you and that you had the skills for, and then get that email saying, you know, we've gone with somebody else and you have no idea why, that's very devastating for people.
So what kinds of things do you do to provide emotional support?
Well, we have our weekly support group where so we allow people to vent a little bit if they need to. I'm a mental health therapist, so I talk to them about depression and unemployment and anxiety. We give them coping skills.
Like what? Give me an example of a coping skill.
We teach emotional freedom technique, which is tapping, which is a way of relaxing. So it's sort of tapping into your acupuncture points and also using self-affirmations at the same time. We'll also encourage vision boarding. We just had a workshop on that.
What is vision boarding?
So that's when you make a collage. Basically, it's also a psychological technique. A collage of things that you want to bring into your life. Usually, you have a bunch of magazines. You cut out images, words, pictures, anything that you want to attract to your life. We have a units that we do every year, which usually involves networking, interviewing, resume prep.
When you say
like
units, it sounds sort of like a curriculum. I mean, in other
it's
words,
it's an informal curriculum, but yes.
So you'll do a session on networking or a session mm-hmm. on resume writing?
Right. We also bring in guest speakers, experts on meditation, financial literacy, bankruptcy, foreclosure. We bring in career coaches, recruiters.
You talked a little about how the job search is different now than 20 years ago.
Yes.
The workplace. Mm-hmm. is quite different, too. In what way?
Well, uniquely, we have all generations in the workplace. If you're 45 or 50 and you're working for someone who's 30 or 35, that's a different generation. So the older worker is a baby boomer. Baby boomers have some certain characteristics that they bring to the world, as we all the generations do, but we bring those to the workplace. So baby boomers tend to be ones who they like consensus, they like teamwork, they love meetings. They like to just be very cooperative, and they like public recognition. Your millennials, they also like teamwork, but they're very tech savvy, so they depend on digital means of communication. Their interpersonal skills are not as good. Baby boomers are excellent in interpersonal skills, but ironically, they hate networking.
Why do they hate networking? Why do we hate networking?
Baby boomers see networking as sucking up or kissing up.
Okay, so
in general,
I can see right away that affects the job search. What else mm-hmm. about these generational differences affect the job search?
An employer might have a millennial or even a Gen Xer and a baby boomer considering them for a job. They might look at the millennial and say, that person doesn't have everything I need, but I can mold them. They don't think the same way about baby boomers.
So we're going to talk in a few minutes. We're going to meet some folks who are underemployed.
Yes.
Perhaps did that strategy that you mentioned of a survival job.
Yes.
So these workplace differences you've been talking about, how does that play in when you're underemployed? I'm just wondering mm-hmm. how people should manage it if they find themselves in a multi-generational workplace when it's not their dream job, but they're trying to make something of it.
And that is a tough place to be, particularly psychologically. So one has to remember a few things. One, it is easier to get a job when you have one, even if it's a survival job. A lot of people don't want to put their survival job on their resume, but you have to, because it shows that you're out there, you're working, you're vital, you're flexible, that you really want to be in the work world. We also have to adjust in those situations where we're not in charge. And also, I like to remind my group members that, you know, all work is good work. You know, there's nothing wrong with working at Target. I know it's not, we didn't get the PhD to do that. And then sometimes in the survival jobs, some people do move up. And I have seen that happen both from a survival job and volunteer work. So you never know where that next job is going to come from. And that's another thing I tell my group members all the time. You never know who is going to lead you to that next job. We are all connections to positions and jobs. We just don't know it.
Lots to think about. I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Career counselor Janet Glover Kirkfleet, who runs the Baltimore Job Hunters Support Group. We're talking about the realities of long-term unemployment. We have information about her group at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. After the break, we'll meet two long-term job seekers to hear what they've learned and how they keep their motivation. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Today we're talking about the challenges of the long-term unemployed. The federal government defines that as out of work 6 months or more. A third of the long-term unemployed are aged 55 or older, and that percentage is expected to grow. We spoke earlier with career coach and counselor Janet Glover Kirkfleet, and now we'll hear from two of her clients. Joining us by phone is Mark Kreiner. He has worked in the food industry as a wholesale and retail regional sales manager. In the 2008 recession, Kreiner lost a senior position after 17 years and was hit by another downsizing at a different company just a few years later. He's working but considers himself underemployed, and he continues to search for work that would make use of his skills and experience with the income to match. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
And with us in studio is Judy Amy. She was working in journalism and stopped to attend graduate school in her 40s. She returned to the workforce, this time as an academic financial administrator. Then she was laid off after 11 years at that job. Since then, almost 3 years ago, she has focused on returning to journalism. She works at a job that pays her bills but doesn't employ her skills as a writer. Welcome to On the Record, Judy.
Thank you.
Mark, how have you approached your job search over the last year? What has been your game plan?
I was let go in January 2017, and that following Monday, I blanketed emails to friends, family about my situation. I started networking with the close people around me, people in the industry. Got my resume out to all the major job boards, updated my profile in LinkedIn, got involved with the state of Maryland, you know, try to cover all the bases as quickly and readily as possible, and continue to do that now.
What has been the most challenging aspect of this round of job search for you?
I would say the impersonality of the current way candidates are selected. For example, through all the various job boards and job sites, you know, I will send a resume, a cover letter with all of my contact information. And to me, it goes into almost a black hole. There is no response back, for the most part, that my resume has been received and I'm being considered. No updates, you know, within the process. And it just leaves you with that empty feeling of, you know, where am I? Am I a value to any company? It gets to be somewhat depressing when there's no call back or reply back to the resumes that are sent out. So that's the biggest challenge right now is, you know, how do I get myself out there in front of those, you know, hiring agencies and to know more about myself rather than just a piece of paper that's submitted to a job site.
Judy, how are you going about reentering journalism?
Well, I'm trying to capitalize on the experiences that I had. I've updated my electronic portfolio since my experiences in print journalism. I've used some of the things that I had from previous, and then I've updated it with electronic. But updating it with electronic has more to do with freelance assignments that I wasn't paid for. I was getting exposure and hoping to, with that updated exposure, make some more contacts through networking groups, business networking, as well as other unemployed networking, and just being open to opportunities that might come along. I did get some callbacks. I also went into more marketing and public relations sorts of jobs.
In terms of applying for them?
In terms of applying for them. Just trying to make relationships. And I did have, in the marketing world, I did get some more positive responses, but did not get a job.
And what would you say the most challenging aspect of this round of a job search has been for you?
The way the market has changed since the early 2000s when I was last looking. After I left grad school, there wasn't that much of a difference. There were not so many applicant tracking software systems that were an essential part of the job search. And so through networking, through the county job support service, and through the various job assistance networking groups, I learned to update my resume, or the whole new process really of rewriting your resume every single time, using keywords out of the position descriptions that are posted. And we're competing against people who have grown up with computer keyboards at their fingertips. So, you know, it's a lot, it's a different world. And that doesn't mean that our skills aren't good. It just means that we have to learn to approach things in a different way than people who have grown up doing everything that way.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Judy Amy and Mark Kreiner, two people dealing with the realities of underemployment while continuing to job search. Mark, let me ask you, and Judy, I'll ask you too, what the most helpful thing that you have learned from working with Janet and the Baltimore Job Hunters Support Group. Mark?
I would say, you know, there's a commonality out there people in the same situation that I am in. There's key learnings that we share with each other. You know, you feel like you're an island sometimes, all by yourself. And then when you're within the group, you understand, you know, this is not just happening to me, it's happening to other people. You know, best learnings, how did you update your resume with the ATS systems that are involved now, your keywords, buzzwords that at least get you through the process to maybe a hiring manager's desk or talent acquisition manager's desk. The support is there, not only from an emotional standpoint, but from, you know, outside information, trends, groups, things of that nature. So it's that shared experience and shared learning that mean a lot.
Judy?
I absolutely concur. And it's a social factor, too. I mean, I know that I'm an underemployed person, so I am going out into the workplace and I am exposed to meeting people. But when I wasn't doing that, the isolation really builds. I'm an introvert, so I don't mind being by myself, but isolation does build. And just groups like Janet's, where you have, it's a social outlet for one thing, but it also is a social outlet that helps you learn and encourages you and gives you opportunities to ask questions and say, you know, how are you doing this? You know, what's different? And we learn from each other.
You've alluded to this. Judy, what do you feel, what role do you think age has played in your job search?
I think ageism is rampant. I think people deny it a lot, but I think that it's true. I send out hundreds of resumes by now, probably. And I see on LinkedIn that people are looking at my profile. So they're looking at it, but they're seeing someone who obviously is past the line of a millennial. And I think they stop there. And I think, I know my profile is in good shape. And so I think they're stopping because they look at my picture and they say, she's past it. And the statistics are that millennials are the ones that don't stay at jobs. And if I got hired, I'd be there for another several years, whereas a millennial might be there for two or three. And so I think ageism is a real part of it, but it's not looked at in a real way.
Mark, what are your thoughts about the role that age plays in the job search?
Yes, I know when I first went out in the market looking again, I felt that, you know, my whole work history shone a light on my abilities and my diverse and varied background and management skills. However, you know, we were going back into the 70s for experience. So I went back and shaved 20 years off of my resume to make it as current as possible, really playing up my attributes, my experience, my expertise, my relationships, you know, all those positives that an employer would look for, and just had very few callbacks, you know, phone interviews, follow-ups. I found in the application process also, while they cannot ask your age, some of the questions on these applications ask you, do you have a college degree? Yes. What year did you graduate? So there's a marker right there. And in some of these automated systems, if you don't populate that date, you cannot move further into the application process online. And of course, some of the other applications ask, you know, this position requires a valid driver's license. Do you have a valid driver's license? And if you give them the information on your index number, then they can obviously go to your driver's license, which has your birth date. So while many companies, you know, are not allowed to ask you anything about your age directly, I've noticed in a lot of these application processes that indirectly, you know, there's ways to find out how old you are. And I think that becomes more of a factor than, you know, the value you can bring to an employer. It negates that when it should be positive.
Mark, how do you keep up your motivation?
Yeah, I've always been optimistic. I always wake up the next morning thinking, you know, there's another opportunity there for me. You know, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. Let's go back out again. I have a great support system with previous workers, my family, my friends who are there to give me encouragement. Janet's team, obviously, a sense of and a source of encouragement. So that means a lot. You know, I try to be as positive as I can be.
Judy, how about you? How do you keep up your motivation?
I think that I describe it, when I first lost my job, I said, I'm ridiculously optimistic about finding something. And I think that there's vestiges of that optimism that keep me going. I don't want to give up. I refuse to give up. And so I keep looking. I don't spend all day on it like I did when I was living on unemployment and there was nothing else. I can keep my bills paid, but it is more because I work shift work. And so it's physically harder to get up and get going and write 100 resumes a week than it was when I wasn't doing anything else but writing 100 resumes a week. But I think it's the innate optimism that I don't want to give up. I still think there's something out there. all I need is a chance.
Well, on that optimistic note, I want to thank you both for sharing what this is like. Thank you very much. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judy Amy and Mark Reiner, both dealing with the realities of underemployment while continuing to search for a good job. They are clients of career counselor and coach Janet Glover Kirkfleet. We spoke with her earlier about the Baltimore Job Hunters Support Group. If you'd like to find out more about her group, follow the link at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.